You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Bald Move TV, the officially unofficial podcast for all of television everywhere.
I'm Jim.
I'm Cecily.
Yes.
And I'm Aaron.
I preempted all of you.
You're the first. You're the first to speak, so you have to explain to the class what these last two episodes meant.
Oh, shit.
And show your work.
I can't even explain the picture of the man breastfeeding the baby. Like, I can't explain that. I can't explain the image of this young girl crying. I can't explain the image of his mother
crying.
That's
the saint. That's the saint that we have introduced to the next episode.
Yeah, but what about his mom? His mom has the same pose at the end.
Oh,
his
yeah. That's something.
Oh, I'm so confused.
What'd you think of this episode? This two episode arc, Jim. Episode 7 and 8 of the Young Pope season 1 is what we're here to talk about. In case you didn't know. Oh, by the way, Ethan and Allison gave us something. We came in the office, I think, last Thursday, and there was
to not send kangaroos.
We have a 2 foot tall kangaroo, stuffed kangaroo with Joey in pouch, dressed up as the Holy Father.
That's right.
It has the Pope hat, has the Pope robes, and he's the young Rue Pope.
Do we need to splash him with blood now?
I think so. Yeah.
Blood?
Yeah. It's unfortunate the kangaroo got it this.
Unfortunate. It's devastating.
Yeah. It has me questioning my faith in God. But what'd you think of this episode, this two-episode stretch?
They were okay.
Not as good as last two?
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem to move very much forward other than, like, the death of his brother.
What about the quote-unquote brother, we should
say? Because there were a lot of false starts, I guess. Like, the parent thing is, you know, a complete false start, right? Like,
right.
Oh, he had this moment where he thought he had his parents back. Turns out he doesn't.
But it means something.
He then has like the change of heart. He's going to go see this sister, Antonia, or Antonio. I assume it's Antonia.
Antonio Banderas is her name.
He goes there. You think, oh, he's going to be there and like he's going to be a real pope and go tour and visit. And he's only doing that so he can shit all over her, find out her list of transgressions or whatever, temptations. So, you know, it's pretty much par for the course, it seemed.
I thought these two episodes were really powerful. They're more grounded in reality, I guess.
Okay.
I guess I had the complete opposite take as you. I thought it did move a lot of things forward. We found out about the more backstory about Kurtwell, which kept cropping up, and now there's some speculation that it's blackmail, and...
Ain't no blackmail like Kurtwell blackmail.
Spencer's sick, but also still really wants to become Pope. I don't know what's going to happen. Is Lenny going to resign, or is he not?
Doesn't seem like it.
No.
I thought it was interesting because I'm starting to think that this is the origin story of a spiritual superhero. Like, what is the difference? This latest episode, what is the difference between Lenny and Batman? He rushes in. He's got superpowers because he can apparently will people to death.
Perhaps, yeah.
You can uncover their corruption by being moved by God and then deliver divine retribution. I thought it was kind of amazing in that sense, that I just feel like this is kind of like Batman Begins, only with spirituality instead of superpowers,
like,
and the Pope instead of Bruce Wayne.
Batman and God's utility belt?
I guess, yeah, sure.
You know, he commands and it happens. For all we know...
Or maybe he's the Oracle.
For Antonia to die, but
maybe he's the Oracle.
Happened.
Maybe he's the Oracle, and God is Batman.
Okay.
So he's like, you know, he's just in his wheelchair, coming up with all this information, doing the investigation, and then bam, drops the hammer. I thought it was interesting in that way, and I thought that like there's a lot of people I see that was kind of maybe lampooning or lamenting the fact that this was the first really conscious turn into serialized dramatic television that the show made. Like, it's very much more, not formulaic, but kind of hit those somber prestige drama beats. And I'm like, I don't know. It can't all be dancing prime ministers, can it? Or maybe it should. Maybe this is a lack of moral conviction. They had to throw some Don Draper into this to balance out the kangaroos and prime ministers.
I mean, there's got to be a story here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it can't just all be flash. If it is, it's vapid and useless. Like, there has to be a lesson or something they're trying to say with it. And, you know, they're getting more to that. It feels like... So I watched a little bit of commentary afterward from Paolo Sorrentino,
mm-hmm.
However you say his name, the director, the creator of this show. And he seemed to want to leave a lot of things ambiguous, like, for instance, the killing of, or perhaps not killing, of Sister Antonio. Was that the Pope calling down divine retribution for her sins, or was that...
Or did the villagers just poison the water?
Or was it just a circumstance that happened? You know,
or did the Pope poison her? Because they mentioned about poisoning and how, I'm too evolved for that. But the Pope kind of cocked his eye, and he does give her breath mints.
Well, she has also
and
she's swinging that water.
True.
Which I think they might have brought with them.
Hmm.
I'm not certain about that.
That was her secret storage. That was her private reserves. And I don't think that they brought anything with them, did they?
Yeah, maybe not.
He said that they have, like, the UN drops in supplies and then the
warlords take it.
Warlords take it, but Antonia's a fan of the warlord, so she's got her own.
Yeah, there's this water scam going on.
Which I don't think anyone would be exuberant about them poisoning some of the only clean water in the village.
Right.
Just to kill her, but.
Right.
She does have a lot of angry villagers, including the priest who breaks that bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your water's a sham, lady.
I guess he could have poisoned her, and this is his confessional with God, you know?
But that's the thing. He's like, it's all ambiguous. We just see him fervently praying. We don't know whether he was forgiven. He's asking God to forgive her of her sins. He's asking God to stop her heart. He's asking forgiveness because he killed her. He is asking for forgiveness because he didn't do anything. And, like, this is all just a series of coincidences. Like... It's very The Leftovers. I feel like I'm back on that tightrope where...
Yeah, that's intentional.
You want to feel like there's a lot of supernatural things going on, but you can't really point to any one thing that's a smoking gun.
Yeah, I mean, the look on his face in that moment, to me, says he's praying for some sort of comeuppance for that sister.
Right.
He's got this very demented, like, angry look on his face when he's talking to God there. Not like he's asking for forgiveness... more like he's asking for a favor.
I do feel like, as I saw some of that same commentary you did, and I felt like it was pretty suggestive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're right, there's no proof, and there is room for argument, but I do think he tipped his thumb a little on the scale towards the Pope did something, either praying for her to die or maybe taking an active hand in her death.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go. That's the episode. That's thanks for Africa. Listening. What else did we... I felt like that it's weird because, like, maybe the Africa plotline needed more than a single episode to breathe because I really didn't understand. I mean, they're painting such a broad brush of, like, it's Africa and there's a warlord and he's thwarting the UN and, like, this. And but I felt very, like, why, like... There's these drought conditions, and people can't drink out of the Wit River because it's polluted, but they're also so desperate for water that they're licking the walls to get moisture. I don't know. Like, the whole place seemed like it's running better than a country that's gripped in a true drought thing. And like and there just wasn't enough set up as far as who the villains were, who the heroes, for me to feel one way or another, and now Lenny's flying back and prayer killing this woman. I felt like it maybe could have used two episodes.
Right, more outside of the church compound type of things, more dead bodies in the streets, or more of the dictator's actions, is that what you're saying?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, I feel like we all pretty much know what goes on.
Yeah, I mean, you're true, but there again...
I remember Coney.
Well, there again, I mean... That does feel, I don't know, like it's a little pastiche-y, little hand-wavy.
Yeah, especially since they didn't even bother to specify any specific place in Africa. They're just going to Africa.
Well, plus, it's, I guess, here's if I'm really putting my finger on it. It's weird that a show steeped in Catholicism goes to Africa and Lenny's biggest problem is a nun withholding water. Like, there's real accusations you could lay to the against the church about, like, the AIDS epidemic.
Right.
And their role or lack thereof in effective anti-AIDS and, you know, using contraception and things like that. And there's just nothing mentioned. To me, it's like when they went to Africa, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the thing. But it just turns out to be like, oh, this nun is withholding water for sexual favors, and that's all.
I mean, Lenny would be on board with all that other stuff, though. Like, he doesn't want people using contraception. He doesn't want...
But there you go. Here's my next point. This episode felt like it should have been a pivot point where that Lenny is going to go back towards the how things started off with him being this pope that's freeing people from
right,
these
and that's
things.
Why, like I said at the beginning, I feel like it was treading water. I feel like it was par for the course because it doesn't change his mind about anything. He's still just on this trajectory of being the pope he's going to be and... You know, alienating everyone so that only the faithful will come back. It feels like that didn't change.
The other thing about him taking a hard stand against, like, the Catholics or if he didn't, if he's like, well, they shouldn't have sex. They should have died. This show treads where, like, Lenny is so likable even though he espouses despicable things. I kind of felt like that would be refreshing because I'm like, okay, now I know exactly who you are and what you feel like.
Right. My issues with Lenny at the beginning of the series were that defense of him really was that we don't know what his plan is yet.
Right.
And now I'm starting to suspect he doesn't know either. He's still looking for his parents. He's looking for his second calling and he's just dragging everyone along for the ride.
Is it also like striking people as ironic as this is my beliefs. I don't know about you, but I believe that at this point in the season, Lenny believes in God. Mm-hmm. But just now, people are starting to levy the accusation that he's right. An atheist,
yeah.
Which I think is ironic, and maybe he does too, because he doesn't. Also, Father Tomasi or whatever his name is, was it hilarious every single time he fled a room?
Yes. Scurried out.
Like this guy grabbing his skirts and lifting them and running out with his it always was funny when he was running to the little garden cell to tell his truth to Sister Mary and when he was fleeing the Pope's ambiguous gaze, I guess. Like right. it's just really funny in a almost Bugs Bunny cartoon kind of way.
It was.
Yeah. I feel like the outfit's just maybe not super practical for getting around the Vatican.
Yeah.
Although I got to say, there is one super practical outfit in this whole season, probably.
What's that?
And that is Voyella's soccer outfit. Holy shit. That was such a great image to open with.
Yes.
It was so good just watching him. Just watching him mope about his palace in these ludicrous fan clothes that he's wearing.
Yep.
What did it mean?
I don't know.
I think his team was losing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It seemed like
it. The metaphor is that he's losing this battle against Lenny.
Well, and also you know what it is. The announcer was saying, how could with these stakes, how could this team show up and not even play? Which then led to him resurrecting the blackmail material. Mm. So maybe he's like, right. You know, I'm getting my ass kicked and I'm not even playing all the cards I've got. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting too, because like these three cardinals and their machinations where... Like, the old guy with the oxygen mask demanded to be pope, but then said, but also, we can't do this scandal thing. The next time we see it, he is, I guess, in support of the scandal, but he's been boxed out because he's already shown that he doesn't have what it takes to do what needs to be done. That was interesting, but I can't put my finger on exactly everything that scene was supposed to be saying.
And then they have that big display to Spencer where they bow down and kiss his ring. And
right.
I don't know. I feel like him. They're playing all kinds of cards, but they don't know what's going to come out of it.
Well, also, Spencer seemed like he was really jazzed to be the Pope, and then Lenny's like, yeah, I'm not going to resign. And then Spencer instantly resumed his kind of like fatherly role towards him and gave him advice that I guess he told him go to some place and bury two coffins. I'm assuming, at first I thought maybe that was petulant and he was saying, go kill yourself and bury your brother too. But then I'm thinking maybe he's thinking about his parents.
I think so.
Like he needs to put his, he needs to bury this thing with his parents once and for all.
Right.
Yeah, the Spencer stuff, it didn't feel right to me, the way they just kind of went from that we're going to plot and scheme and I'm going to become the Pope straight to, like, I'm too sick to do anything, so I guess I'm not going to be the Pope.
Right, there's so much up and down. Like, in the episodes where Esther got pregnant and Lenny and the flower opened and all of these things happened, the kangaroo jumped, it seems miraculous, and there is a God. Mm-hmm. And then there's this fall from grace for him and him questioning whether or not he should be doing this and about ready to resign. And then, you know, he prays at the end and Sister Antonia dies. I mean, that's just all these characters. I'm not sure what their motivation really is.
Yeah, and how far...
they're just so flip-floppy.
There's two more... Well, I mean, some of it makes sense, like Violo coming correct once he takes a shot at the king and misses or fails.
But he
like
already did that, and now he's trying again.
Yeah.
He already bowed down and cried on his shoes on the wall scene, and
well, but that's,
they all had the kissing Lenny's shoe.
That's very Christ-like, too, because in the Gospels, you see several times that his disciples drove him to utter distraction by failing to learn the lessons he's trying to teach them, and constantly disappointing up and to the point where he's being sentenced to death, Peter denying him three times, famously, before the cock crows.
It's to your point about Lenny not...
I feel like that's all symbolic of this. Like, his apostles are continually... running home to their vain political things, and he's trying to pay. But he's putting himself in this Christ position. To what end? I don't know. Christ destroyed Judaism to pave the way for Christianity. What is Lenny trying to do? Is he trying to destroy Catholicism to pave the way for what?
A new Catholicism, it appears.
It's also interesting about this Spencer saying about the second calling, because we've wondered about what Lenny thinks about God. We saw in this episode that he got his first calling at the waterfall with his parents. That's like, you know, when God kind of called and made his presence known to him.
Yeah, his mother's breasts were his first calling.
I don't understand. Like, I thought it was fascinating, Spencer, talking about the second calling. Like, this is now you're no longer idealistic. You're no longer young. You have all these doubts. And, like, what is going to be the thing that... You know, like, what's going to be the old man that comes and tells you what the weight of God is? What's going to be the thing that rekindles your passion, your commitment to belief?
And I felt like it was, you know, silly enough, the kangaroo, like the miracles around that whole thing, like tell the kangaroo to jump. He kept wishing for that. It eventually happened. And, you know, more importantly, this baby that this barren, apparently not barren woman actually had. I feel like that was it. And for the kangaroo to show up dead and killed by, I assume, the protesters.
Right.
Smeared themselves with, you know, spelled kangaroo. Out bastard with kangaroo blood on them.
Right.
I feel like that's indicative of how he must feel about his calling, you know? Like, at times he feels like it's dead. Like, the second calling wasn't a true second calling. Then he kneels down
calling?
And he prays, and the miracles that he saw.
Well, remember when
he's
sitting there
with
Esther and he said, "I do feel God." Like, I think maybe that he thought that was the second calling,
right?
But he has, like, from his perspective, he's performed. If he was involved with Sister Antonia's death, three miracles.
Well, I don't know.
The one as a child, Esther's birth, and.
Right.
And him praying, like, so he is, like, now he has fulfilled the requirements of being a saint. He just has to die now.
Sure, we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, what's still on the table.
Yeah.
It's definitely still on the table. But now I'm starting to wonder, because I thought, like, well, they should definitely kill him. He should definitely die. And this should be just this one really artsy piece. But now that they've revealed him as maybe this spiritual Batman character, I can see a show about him investigating wrong and righting wrongs in a church from this really, I don't know, conservative, like it cuts both ways. Like, okay, well, yeah, I'm denying gay rights and I'm denying communion to abortion, the women that have abortions, but also I'm going to end systemic corruption in Africa and I'm going to end child molestation and, like, kind of like you got to take the good with the bad situation.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I just don't have a good read on... Well, I do. I feel like I do have a good read on him, and it's very fundamental, you know? It's fundamental Catholicism.
I don't think he believes it, though.
It's not
you
modern
really think he believes
in any
it?
Way. I do, yeah. I mean, look at all of his actions. Everything he's done has been in support of the belief structure, like the true belief
Except
structure
for
of the Catholic Church.
The only time we've got a glimpse of his inner thoughts are when he had that dream, which was the opposite. Now...
Which could have been a nightmare.
That's what I'm saying. In context, that could be seen as a nightmare, that he's like, oh my God, what if I did that?
But is he espousing all of these really core or, you know, strict beliefs because he thinks that's what God wants him to do in order to get his second calling?
Yeah, I don't know. Because, I mean, he could be this, you know, this inside man here who's trying to take down the Catholic Church from inside of it, from the top of it, but like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like he has a clear plan that may be misguided and may be informed by his not having parents from an early age, but like, he seems to believe in the things he's doing.
Do you think
to what end? I don't necessarily know.
Right. Do you think he was shaken at all by the suicide of that young priest?
Oh, it didn't seem like it moved him at all.
Yeah, didn't.
I mean, multiple people throughout the episode told him it was his fault.
I mean, it's part of that. Like, it did. So, there's two possibilities for his resignation. One is that he was truly beat down by the events and the just like 9 months of people hating him, and he's ready to fold it up. Another interpretation is that this was his latest canary trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm willing to declare that I'm ready to give it up, and I want to see what people's genuine reaction to that is, and then I'll know who my enemies are again.
Yeah, and when he goes to some of the others and he says, hey, I'm resigning, decided mm-hmm. to resign. Like, he goes to Spencer, he goes to one other person.
He
I
says
can't
it's
remember.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she talks him out of it.
Right, right. I feel I like don't... he was testing the waters there. He was trying to figure out what they would think about that. Not necessarily he was going to do it.
I'm doubling down on Sister Mary as his genuine mother.
Okay. At this point, I don't think she's either of those boys' mother.
I think that there's something meaning about her having the missing pipe piece of that pipe and her setting this stuff up and her being able to coach those people on the what to say, and the fact that, you know, she did introduce herself to Andy, right?
How would he not know?
But he has memories.
How would he not know?
What if she was given birth, like, when she first became a nun and gave this kid to this hippie couple so she could join the convent and start over?
Double adopted?
And then, yeah, and then, like, after a couple of years, the hippie couple's like, yeah, this isn't what we wanted to do. Or maybe they had an agreement, like, when he turns 8, we'll turn him back in. Because I've never seen anything from his life that suggests that him and his parents weren't anything but hippie idyllic. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no tough times. They were all just beautiful, happy people living and communing in nature. Maybe that will come in the next two episodes, but I still think that that's going to be the big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
That, and especially since she keeps on saying that I'm betraying the one I love more than anyone else in the world. That's the way you talk about your kids.
That's the way you talk about the Pope, though.
I guess if you're a sister, yeah. Yeah, God damn
I mean, what's
you.
Her motivation?
God damn you all.
What's her
Why
motivation?
Why can't I just be strong in my convictions?
What would her motivation then be?
To lie all these years?
To lie and to double down on the lie. I mean, she tries to present these fake parents to him.
Well, she was like, doing anything she could to save the church.
Right, but what is her motivation for lying about being his mother?
Right.
Yeah, because that...
When even more than just bringing in fake parents, you could be like, you know what? I'm your mom.
That would destabilize you, too. That would destabilize you, too.
I feel like if they're going to go that direction, they need to do some serious work in storytelling to make me believe it.
I think...
To make me understand why she would do that.
Right. And it seems like he forgave her rather easily for the ruse. And I think mm-hmm. That if not Spencer telling him to bury two coffins, I think that he's going to put that away now. Maybe not completely, but I don't think it's going to be his driving focus anymore.
I mean, he does seem like very childish in a lot of his interactions with people.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
I'm not saying that he's going to be like emotionally whole again. But...
Right, right.
What are we? Because so on one level, the little girl in the end of the episode who cries is the we understand is the person that they're trying to saint.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently she's died and she's had at least three recorded miracles. And part of this is like, okay, on one level, this is just to explain how the idea of canonization, how becoming a saint works in the Catholic Church, so we can understand later when, you know, that Lenny becomes a saint, we can put two and two together. But also, as you pointed out, they make a pretty firm connection with his mother and this girl.
Right.
Right.
Who told tales that healed people. What the hell does that mean?
I have zero clue.
And his mother, they've mentioned about how sad she was. She had sad eyes or whatever when she dropped him off. Like, what the hell is going on here?
Also, there were a few confusing shots. Maybe it was in these two episodes, at least one in this episode, where you get a close-up of her, you know, naked and breathing and just Lenny and her. Do you think there's anything?
Well, the only thing I can think of during the heavy breathing did you notice that there's like a heavy breathing throughout the entirety of a credit sequence, like for a minute and a half, this woman breathing heavily. Huh. And I was wondering if that has a thematic connection with God breathing. Like that was a bit that's right. How Viello kind of facetiously explained how the Pope got to be the Pope.
Right.
Was there some genuine epiphany that this woman had that led Lenny onto his path of life that made him become a pope? Was he right? He just was wrong about the event that led to the breathing? Or because the only time they've mentioned that breathing is in connection with God's, you know, Holy Spirit acting on something. And I can't imagine this guy's pumping in 60 seconds of this young woman heavy breathing into my TV if they're not trying to connect those two statements.
Maybe it wasn't breathing. Maybe it was the Pope sniffing us. Like taking an intense, deep sniff.
You're not my genuine audience. I reject you.
It's a great honor to be sniffed by the Pope.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. To you know, speak to your point, I honestly couldn't tell you what any of that stuff at the very end means.
Why did Esther and her Swiss Guard husband leave Rome?
I've been telling you since he visited them in the hospital. It's creepy and they're uncomfortable.
Totally.
It is creepy.
Totally.
Especially when he's like, they can't even handle their own baby. The Pope's constantly there, like changing diapers and carrying, swaddling this baby. It's like weird.
And they just left him that photo, which is the most awkward photo I've ever seen. Did you get a good look?
Yeah.
The baby's screaming
his
head off.
And he's got this like...
No, but so I just feel like that someone, like maybe Viello has gotten them out of there because that puts that blackmail kind of like beyond reach at this point. Because I feel like, yes, they were uncomfortable, they didn't know what to do, but I don't think they would ever decide to abandon the Pope, the man who at least she believes gave them their child.
Oh, I do. Yeah. She looked quite done with him.
Huh.
Did she? I felt like the dude looks way more done with him.
Oh, yeah.
But he kind of did from the start.
So, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be weird. It'd be like, what if, I don't know, like what if Bono from U2 decided to come in and just...
My personal saint.
Yeah, right. Or, like, you know, just decided to come in and start, like, taking an active interest in your child's, like...
Right.
Welfare.
Please leave my house.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be like, first, it'd be the novelty of like, he just came in one night and he gave him a $5 million scholarship and said this child is special to him. And then he just kept showing up and changing diapers. And it's kind of nice, but he almost dropped him that one time. And like, I mean, like, Bono is like a little silly because this is like a religious leader to people that are really religious.
Right.
Yeah.
That's even a tougher. I mean, you just have fame and notoriety and you don't have any kind of religious orthodoxy propping you up if you're Bono.
I get it. It seems like it came out of nowhere. I mean, the only hints we got that this was going to happen is some uncomfortable glances between Esther and her husband. And then they're just gone when she was just such a big plot point earlier.
I did love his.
It didn't really result in anything for Lenny. Her story came to a conclusion.
Other than the miracle, right? Like, if he still believed that this was a miracle that he gave them or caused, then, you know, I could see it affecting him there.
I guess that makes sense.
It's funny. Apparently, Esther is the one who gathered the children on the helipad. Like, maybe she was actually this Manchausen by proxy type of person. She was hoping the children would be turned into chunky salsa.
Oh, God.
Because she's gone, and like, he even...
I can't have any of my own.
Where the hell are the children? Shouldn't they be scattering now? And then he lands, and the Pope says immediately, where are the roller skating children? I'm like, it's in universe. Even the Pope knows something's wrong. And then Esther's just fucked off, but...
Yeah.
Shit, I was going to go somewhere with that.
No, I mean, it's clear. She loved being around children, you know? She couldn't have any of her own. she loved being around them and having fun with them. And
now she's got her own, and she's out of there.
Not even that, but it's an indication that she's gone, an early indication.
She's
right?
got her own, and she's out of Rome.
Can we Where'd talk about Dossier?
What?
Andrew Dossier?
Yeah, Andy.
The one,
the guy that went back to Honduras and was summarily murdered by the
brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I mean,
he's dead.
First of all, can we talk about this man on man rape scene?
Oh yeah. Okay.
Like, that was crazy how like it's portrayed similar to a lot of rape scenes we've seen on HBO and what, but also kind of different because this guy's powerful enough to fight the guy off.
But he's right. very drunk.
Like to treat he's very drunk and he's being raped and taken, but like it's so weird to see, like, it's majority, like, get off me, goddamn, get on. But then you can tell it's, like, when he looks back at the guys he's leaving, it's, like, it's fucked up. But he doesn't know really how to process it fully. I thought it was, I mean, it's literally, like, nothing I've ever seen before.
Right. It is certainly a fairly unique depiction of it, I think.
Yeah.
I constantly have this, like, crisis of conscience while I'm watching the show. Because I don't know if I'm watching a show that I want to watch. Like, I think I might actually be watching a show that is offensive to me. I think I might be watching a show about a pope who thoroughly believes in the convictions of the church, which I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. I think I might be watching a show that wants to demonize gays. I think I'm watching a show that I don't like.
Right.
But I love the style of it. I feel constantly uncomfortable because it's Sister Antonia, right?
Yeah.
She's gay. She's also evil. This guy who is gay in this car, I guess, is trying to butt rape Andy.
He's evil.
Clearly evil. Like, that's
but
not
Andy's
a cool
not,
thing to
Andy's
do.
Andy's not evil, nor was the priest that committed suicide.
Sure, but he's
I wouldn't
punished.
Call him gay either.
I would say he's bisexual.
Well, I mean, you got, yeah, sure.
He's a gay, you know, bisexual person being punished in the show.
And but isn't
right,
another way to look
I don't
at that?
I feel comfortable with that.
In the show
isn't
gone unpunished.
Okay, so that's definitely, and like, you know, the evil gay and the tragic gay is a well-worn
right.
trope
right.
at this point. But could it also be seen as this is what repression looks like? Like when desires are driven underground, this is where it just turns like it's
well, okay, so you're saying there's a commentary on
yeah,
on
like,
the Catholic Church here saying like, that if the Catholic Church weren't around, these people wouldn't be ostracized. These people wouldn't.
Yeah, this guy
be,
might not have to, like,
I mean,
you know, desperately rape a priest, or
he doesn't
might
have to do that
not
anyway.
Think that he needed to do that after seeing what that inside of that party looks like. I absolutely do not think that his parents are going to stop him from indulging in what
no,
he
no.
Wants.
Granted,
he just wanted to take advantage of.
But what if
he's
a what if he's
kid?
A devout Catholic and the Holy Father just said,
gay,
"That's what I'm saying." Like that fucks with people, and that destructive, malignant force of repression. Like, it's taking human beings that we empathize with in a sense of Andy and turning them into cowards. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think that it's hard to look past that and past the tropes and stuff and see if they're doing something more interesting.
You're trying to sell me on the rapist being the victim here, and I'm
no,
not buying.
No, fuck no. Fuck no.
But I don't – I was uncomfortable with the attempted rape of Andy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think
I
it's supposed to be.
I hope everyone watching was, yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly because, I mean, for the obvious reasons, but I think that, you know, he didn't become an important character until a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add this sort of victimization or, you know, just to make him look weak, powerless, and in a bad spot just to kill him later. I just thought it was completely unnecessary.
Yeah, and you didn't need to do it in that fashion. Like,
right.
I make him weak and vulnerable in other ways. Like, I
have the guy just drop him on the side of the road. And it's just as effective of a scene. He's still naked,
right? Or have him take a beating for his
yeah.
I felt
he had already been humiliated like, because of what had gone on in the party, and he had
right.
kind of sullied himself. And then, like, yeah, you're raping and then killing him. It almost feels like a morality tale, like from our like I could see a Jehovah's Witness produces a video about this is
right.
what happens when
right.
you're gay.
Like, yeah, this is
you know?
Right, yeah.
I felt the scene where. You know, I'm watching Sister Antonia reach over and try and hold the hand of the woman next to her.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing Lenny notice this through the cup, through the reflection
right.
in the cup. I'm thinking, oh no, she's in trouble. And then I'm having, like, this cognitive dissonance between why the fuck would she be in trouble for that and this what the show is trying to clearly tell me, which is
right.
this is wrong. And
Well, but so I mean,
according
so,
to the doctrine of the Catholic Church,
but
a bad person, and we got a way to catch her.
But Lenny noticed
right.
this,
and then
in
she
the
dies,
con-
and am I supposed to feel good about that?
Right.
Well,
like,
but
I know she's also evil in other ways.
That's the thing. Like, so Lenny got this information, and he's got this in that this woman is using water to mm-hmm. buy sexual favors from the people around her.
Right.
So that's actually kind of casting this into like a sexual slavery kind of situation. But I mean, you are not wrong that now that these gay characters are being cast in villainous lights.
Right. It just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, is the show going to have some way to, like, you know, get right with that? Is this
right.
something that's just not part of the story that he wants to tell?
This is the problem with me, like, not quite understanding what the show is trying to say this deep in, is now I'm getting all these conflicting messages of, like, I shouldn't be
well, and also, like,
rooting this Pope on because he's persecuting people I don't feel should be persecuted.
Yes, should we feel sorry for the Pope?
Or, right.
And if we do feel sorry, should we feel sympathetic? Like, it's one thing to pity a person for being a bastard because of the things that happen to them a lot in their lives. It's another to excuse and be like,
sure.
oh, you know.
Right.
I think part of what makes us uncomfortable is that I can't name a single protagonist in the show that we can really identify with and root for. Except for the kangaroo.
What about Viello? I mean, what's going on with him and Sister Mary? I think it's extremely interesting.
What,
yeah, there's
them
some relationship.
On a carcass of a hippo.
That was
Yo,
it.
Oh, but, what the hell?
What?
Is this like a fever dream that Lenny's having?
I can.
Well,
never
I thought
tell.
I thought the women with the bastard on her chest was a fever dream until the kangaroo showed up murdered. So,
yeah. Right.
So Viello and Sister Mary are battling their affections toward each other.
Yeah, because
he's both hot for, you know, spycraft, I guess.
Yeah.
Secret telling.
Yeah. I don't know. There's this people that deferred their entire lives, and, you know, now they're in the twilight of their years, and they're reaching for human connection.
He needs his third calling. So does she. They both
It's the call to bone. It's this the highest sanctiment of the Catholic Church.
Show me Jesus, Sister Mary.
I think it's interesting. But it's also he's not exactly cast in a heroic role,
right?
Neither, maybe nobody is.
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's not the first show I've watched where I kind of subtly root for a complete bastard, but this is the first time where, like, I guess, you know, I'm rooting for a 12th century type of bastard. You know,
I wonder if, and I just had this thought, so I'll probably fully develop it by next week, but I wonder if all of these characters are representing one of the seven deadly sins. Like, Voiello's vanity, obviously, mm-hmm. with all the biographies and...
Him.
And him. He.
Yeah, he right.
I'm gonna delve into that further.
All right.
Put it out there if anyone wants to help me.
Is there a glutton? There's no glutton, though. Or maybe what's the... Gutierrez would be, like, the alcoholic. He's the glutton.
Yeah.
Or that's drunkard. Is drunkenness?
No.
No, it's not.
Gluttony.
Drunkenness is not?
I bet drunkenness is a subset of gluttony. Yeah, I mean, think about
Probably
it. No one drank themselves to death in seven. That's an easy way to remember it.
Lenny's wrath.
Lenny would be wrath.
The Pope would be baby stealing.
Lenny is also the Pope. You cannot treat them as two separate characters. That is one of the deadly sins of screenwriting. Confusing your protagonist.
Maybe they were raptured.
What else do we want to talk about?
I don't know that I have much more.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this. Like, it's hard for me to imagine the next episodes are going to make me regret the experience of watching the show. But also, it's also hard for me to imagine what the hell they're going to do in the next 2 hours. It really puts a period, you know, that like says that puts a pin and says this is what this season was about.
Right.
This is how you should feel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't know how you should feel about it, and your discomfort with the material is part of the point. Like it's weird that I don't even have really any speculation or thoughts about where it could go next.
Do we want to talk about? Sorry, one last thing. His speech that he gave the dictator in the crowd at the end.
The peace. Speech.
Yeah, this peace speech. I think that seems like an. No,
I thought it was a pretty powerful speech that
weak.
Went on a little too long.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was weak platitudes. That
I think it works for the audience.
Well, I mean, they definitely show the audience being moved. But, you know, it's essentially a Beatles song that he threw out there. And I don't know. Like, I felt that same way about his other speech where he was talking about, you know, when he first addressed the audience. Like, it just feels like a poorly written and constructed and amateurish. But we're supposed to think it was, like, awesome. Either awesomely bad or awesomely good. And then he goes back and he's talking to the press, and they're all sleeping, and he's like the doting father checking on his children, and the one guy tells him he did good, and like I don't know.
Felt the opposite.
So did I.
Okay.
I thought it was a powerful speech, except I think he could have said peace maybe once or twice fewer times.
Right.
Fewer?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One or two fewer times.
All right. Anything else to talk about?
No, I mean, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that next week's previews look just wildly different from
what
we've been watching.
Incredibly different.
So I'm excited to see where it goes. Looks like it's going to jump out at us. Sorry, bad kangaroo pun.
Oh, boy. It's too soon.
The kangaroo's dead. I'm trying as hard as I can to keep him alive.
His memory alive.
Yeah.
We're up against a time constraint, and we don't have time to consider feedback this week, but next week we...
Will that be our final podcast next week?
I think so.
Maybe, or if especially if we don't have time to consider, maybe we can do a wrap-up podcast. It's just, like, feedback over the last, you know, the thoughts of the episode and where people think it's going to head if it gets another season, or if we think it's going to get another season, because I've been trying to studiously avoid discussion. I've seen things hinting one way or another, but, yeah. Yeah, young Pope. Also, I think later on this week we might have some talk about the Santa Clarita Diet?
Right, yeah.
That we watched, and maybe some unfortunate events that we've witnessed, and...
maybe we can get some taboo
some
in there.
Expanding stuff.
And then the other thing is, I know
Move TV.
I know, yeah, Girls is starting up, which is something you and I thought about having, like, a little conversation. Me and you, Cecily, having a little weekly conversation about. We'll see. It's Bald Move TV. It's all the television. Could be none of the television,
right? Like all of television encompasses none of television.
That's right.
As
it's
well.
The set that can, it's like the visible universe. It's
right.
It's everything, including nothing.
Right.
So most of the space between in atoms is empty. What do you think of that? That's a cosmological fact.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, that's the equivalent.
You mean I'm never really touching anything?
That's the equivalent
exactly.
of the Guatemalan child staring at you crying. You don't know what to make of it, do you? Anyway, send in feedback to tv@baldmove.com. As always, we have some pretty rollicking threads in the forums going about on the Young Pope. And we will wait to see how this thing wraps up and lands helicopter. Hopefully it doesn't crash into a helipad full of children. Or maybe it will. They brought the mound of child corpses.
That's true.
Maybe a helicopter. It'd be like the ultimate dead baby joke.
Oh, my God.
Like, what do you get when the papal helicopter crashes into a mountain of dead babies?
What's the punchline?
The young pope. See you next week.